Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your grace, and thank you for everyone here. We thank you that our evangelisms and outreaches are yielding much fruits. They're bearing much fruits. They're bearing much fruits. They're bearing much fruits. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So we're going to look at a short spice for evangelism. You realize that many times people do not really understand the importance of why they do the things that they do. Of course, with understanding will come a response of joy to what you do. There's going to be joy attached to what you do when you understand why you do what you do. And so our pursuits of evangelism and discipleship, I believe a key and important trait of really understanding why we have evangelisms, why we go on outreaches, why we go on follow-ups, will produce a joy in our souls. Because we have understanding, produces a fulfillment in our hearts. Because we have understanding. And that's why you always find the apostles in Acts of the Apostles accounts by Luke, how that the apostles were filled with great joy as they went out preaching and teaching. And sometimes they were even faced with persecutions, but their response to those persecutions were not murmuring or complaining, just trying to throw in whims here and there. But their response to persecutions and tough seasons was joy. There were times they would go and nobody would want to hear them, but their response is still joy. The man who carries the message of the gospel is a man whose feet is beautiful. The prophet speaks about how beautiful are them, the feet of them that go about to preach the good news of the gospel. How beautiful are their feet. Now, you may have dusty feet from evangelism, but Jesus calls that beautiful feet. He says, how beautiful are the feet of them who go around and who go around carrying and bearing the gospel of Jesus. So I just want to add a spice. One time I saw a dear brother and his shoes had been chopped. While in fact everybody else may see those shoes and say, oh, that's chopped shoes, I saw those shoes and I said, those are beautiful feet. Right? I said that to myself in my heart. Those are beautiful feet. Because those feet are found on the go. for the Jesus that he loves. So we're going to pay attention to this. You know, the joy with which we step out for our evangelisms and our follow-ups, it is so important. You know, sometimes people think, of course, to serve God, it must be very difficult without any joy, you know, very serious. No, but what we have to do is joy in itself. What we have on our hands is joy in itself. And that's why we are full of joy when we do what God wants us to do. And of course, one of the things he wants us to do is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he has taught us, because he is with us. So he is with us, and that's why we're very much joyed. But a spice to your evangelism is to make sure that you have your evangelisms in joy. I probably think you didn't see this coming, but then joy is vital in our evangelisms as we step out, as we meet people, as we talk to people, you know, as we share the word of God with people. It must be done in joy. Don't go complaining, you know, beating yourself. Must I do this again? Must I go at it again? I went yesterday, but it looks like nobody was listening to me. Today too, I have to go. No, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of Jesus. They carry the good news. Right? So, that's why oftentimes, even when the apostles were beaten and they were ordered not to speak in Jesus, they rejoiced and they continued preaching. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 42. Key for our evangelisms. Don't step out of your evangelisms moody. Coming back moody. Just like weary. Coming back weary. If you were working for the president, I don't think you would come in that moody or weary. So, this is what happened, you know, in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 42. And when they had called the apostles, because they were found preaching, they beat them. And then they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Of course, that should mean they were preaching, rejoicing. Or they preached in joy, caught, beaten, and yet they are still in joy. So, joy is such an essential commodity in your discipleships, in your evangelisms. Never find yourself moody, sad, weary, tired because you are going for evangelism, or because you went for evangelism and nobody heard you, or because you were at evangelism and you didn't meet people, or because you were at the spot and you spoke to somebody and the person didn't listen to you. No, you are a carrier of a news that is good. It's the word euangelion, gospel, you know, a carrier of news that is good. It means that the news is good. The bearer of the news must radiate that atmosphere of good. So we're going to learn this. Our follow-ups, evangelisms should never be out of duty. You know, where it's stressful. You know, Jesus looks at you with great delight. I'm telling you. I mean, in a world that we are, where everyone seems to be busy with what they have to do, so you learn to have songs that you sing as you go. Learn to have songs. You know, that you sing to yourself. Enjoy. You know, imagine you stepping out and you're singing a song. I will preach. I'll preach Jesus all over the world. All over the world. I will preach. I'll preach Jesus all over the world. All over the world. Then you go like, his fire is burning. His fire is burning. His fire is burning in my soul. His fire is burning. His fire is burning. His fire is burning in my soul. Then you go. And then you go out with that excitement. I'll preach Jesus all over the world. All over the world. You know, you need to keep those things on your side. Right? Because you are a carrier of news that is good and that saves the souls of men from eternal damnation and condemnation. So don't, mama, complain, be sad, feel like it's a dutiful task. Always let the master look at you with great joy. You know, as a pastor, you're going to work with different people. You know, as a pastor, I work with different people. And I particularly pay attention to those who respond with joy. Right? The feeling is different. Feeling is different. I'm just imagining God. And there are people who do things with joy. Like when you ask them to do something or when you ask them to go about something, you can almost sense that palpable, yes, I'm excited to do this. I believe that's how God feels when he looks at us as we hit the streets. It's like, yeah, that's my joyful servant. He's doing it with joy. So evangelism must be done with joy. Don't leave that element out. Don't leave it out. Don't leave it out. You're God's strong battle axe for fulfilling, for pulling down, for tearing down activities of darkness. How do you do that? By the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. So, your evangelism should be eyes tipped with joy. So these disciples, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. And every day, they continued to teach. They continued to preach in the Gospels. They continued to teach the Gospels. Wow. This is joy. In fact, Paul in Philippians 1:18 wrote from prison and how that he rejoiced that Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Philippians 1:18. Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. I don't know how they do it. But then Christ is preached. And because Christ is preached, I rejoice. It means in himself, he rejoices at the message preached, which is Christ. See, people of God, I've always been telling you, don't go in the way of other people that you see. You see, we are men, and we have a God that created us. And we must learn to trust what he says is good for us. The gospel, it's preaching and teaching. And your service to God is what brings true joy and true fulfillment. You can ask your siblings who are not in Christ. Or ask your friends who are not in Christ. Just say, how is it like? You hear something. You know, I was telling someone, you know, the person was talking and I was just smiling. And I kept on telling myself that what a blessed privilege. You know, when you are serving God, you are literally hidden from the world. You are hidden from the pressures of the world. You are hidden from the cares of this world. All you are just concerned about is just living your life for Jesus, being excited about Jesus, working for Jesus. That's if you have a very laser-sharp focus. It's like nothing really comes your way that really troubles you and worries you and gets your head off and gets you troubled and, you know, just eats you up. You know, I have people who call me and they tell me, Osofo, please pray for me. I said, what is wrong? He said, I don't know what is wrong. I said, you don't know what is wrong. Even yesterday it happened. Please pray for me. Called me at night. I couldn't pick at night. Morning, couldn't pick in the morning. Afternoon, it was boiling. My phone was just, you know. So I just picked up the call. And he said, Prof, please pray for me. I said, what is wrong? I said, I don't know what is wrong. I said, wow. And I had to pray for him. So you wouldn't know what benefit it brings. You find out people who are in a rat race, chasing after things they will never accomplish and they will never acquire. Or they will chase after things that they will become worried at chasing, which they are never bound to get. So it's a great privilege. It's a great privilege. So we must see what he's giving to us, receive it, and do it in joy. And I was telling someone that the person was leaving the was okay, let me skip that story. But I tell you, there is joy in serving the Lord. And we must enjoy that joy. Do you see that? We must enjoy that joy. Don't let anyone deceive you that you are missing something. You're not missing anything, I'm telling you, by not being in the world. Or by being in the ministry, like you are missing something. You're not missing anything. If there's anything, you're rather gaining. So, Paul is saying that Christ is preached. And in this, he rejoiced. In fact, you know, in Acts 13, verse 48 to 52, where Apostle Paul and Barnabas preached at Antioch, the Bible says that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy. They were filled with joy. The disciples were filled with joy. And this was after, you know, the Gentiles had heard this. They were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of God was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up, you know, the devout and honorable women of the chief men of the city and raised persecutions against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were excited that God had chosen them to be preachers of his word. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, I was thinking about something and that I'd heard a preacher just say passingly. He said it. And he said that. He says that he wonders why people are not making preparations to stand before God. Because that's something everybody would do. And I think that is very true. I think that is very true. So why don't we keep our joy in something that we know is certain to happen? Certain to happen. If you say, yeah, Pastor, I want to leave the earth by 90. That is certain to happen. If the Lord tarries, it's going to eventually happen. And, you know, in that horizon of a world where we're going to be translated into, that is a forever place. So it makes a lot of sense to me if I spend more time on something that I know is forever or eternal. It makes a lot of sense to me. It's funny how even, you know, people's properties, they can't even carry themselves. I mean, they can't carry properties with them. So we ought to be very full of joy. See, what we have on our hands. Oh. It never passes away. It never passes away. It never gets obsolete. Never gets old. And this is why we should be joyful. So though we are pressed, sometimes in distress because of other things that happen around us, yet we are sure of that is which is to come. And that's our great hope. That we do the Lord's bidding. And this is what gives us true joy. So in your evangelisms, a spice is joy. is spice, is joy. Don't complain. Don't feel like you are wasting your life. You're wasting time. And you need to be doing something better in life. Preaching and teaching the gospel to other people. Beautiful feet are those who carry the message of salvation. Before we go out, let us read Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. I want you to be encouraged. What you have your hands on is a blessing, I tell you. And that's why you go around doing what Jesus has asked you to do in joy, knowing that many others are going to be saved alongside you. And this makes the Father happy. In Isaiah 52 verse 7, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth glad tidings. New American Standard Bible 20. That publisheth peace. How delightful on the mountains are the feet of one who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness. Do you see that? How can you be hurrying? How can you be carrying news of happiness and not be happy yourself? He calls it news of happiness. Now, what is this news of happiness? He calls it who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. So it's good news. So as you step out, you're going to be full of joy. You know, when they tell you, just imagine if they told you, NLA called you, NLA, National Lottery Authority, they called you and they said, oh, we just put your number in a raffle. And behold, you have to your account. $10 million Ghana cedis. Okay, $10 million Ghana cedis is not money, yo. But then for you to sit down and $10 million Ghana cedis just hits your account. Easy. See, you are already happy. You don't have it in your account too, but you are already happy. And I'm wondering, like, what are you so happy? You don't have it in your account yet. I'm just sharing with you a story, but you're already dreaming of 10 million Ghana cedis in your account. You are saying, hey, 1 million will go here, 500,000 here. I'll invest 5 million. I'll use 1 million to pay my school fees. My mother is owing 200,000 is gone. You see, I've even made up my mind. I was going to buy a land. You see, you are already calculating. So I'm just wanting you to imagine, right? You are driving to NLA in Accra for the check. You see, it's already a joyful night. Like from now till the time that you get to enjoy what you're enjoying, it's already a joyful night. You see, even the story I've shared with you, you see, it changes the atmosphere in a certain way. It just changes the atmosphere has changed. Huh? Hey, human beings. So even me, Sev, I'm happy. 10 million, like you are just there, just hits your account. Huh? The zero is one plus six zeros for free. Just do what you want to do. So you see, it's because we know 10 million Ghana cedis, but it's almost like you don't know the price of what you do. You see? So, but from today, we are going to be full of joy.
Amen.
Full of joy. You know, as you go out to preach, what you have is priceless, people of God. It cannot be paid for. That's what you have in your possession. So, as you step up for evangelisms, follow-ups, you know, to teach your people that you are discipling, I want you to have the spirit of joy. Okay? Don't let anyone tell you it's useless, doesn't make sense. You're always going for evangelism. What does this mean? It's too much. It's not this. Evangelism is past. It's those times. Now they don't do evangelism. Now evangelism is not something that we do. Now it's social media. You know, we can't be wiser than God. God's method will outlast any generation. Yes, his method will outlast any generation, any invention. Right? So let's stick to God's method. Let's do it the way he wants us to do it. And that's how we're going to be able to raise the people he wants to raise. And so you have a message that's good. Feats that are beautiful. Right? Romans 10:15, before we go. Romans 10:15, before we go. Romans 10:15, before we go. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. How beautiful are the feet. So you can call your feet beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So joy, a vital spice for your evangelisms. Joy. You know, one of the things I realized also about, you know, the dispensing of the gospel. You cannot be very moody or sad after dispensing the gospel. It's something I had paid attention to. It's true. It almost seems like there's a power that heals the one that gives it. Yeah. It's very true. I'm depressed. You don't go for evangelism. Yeah, you don't go for evangelism. If you start going for evangelism, you will see that those things will start disappearing. You will not know how, but it has that effect. Yeah, I'm sad. You just go for evangelism frequently, you will see something. Yeah. So, we're going to be full of joy, right? We're going to be full of joy as we go around preaching. Let that settle in your heart. I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. Full of joy. You're full of smiles. You're full of laughter. You are bubbling and rejoicing as you go. You know, a child who has been sent to buy something, and the child is happy that for one time in my life, I've also been sent to the shop. You know, when you are a child, they always have somebody that they send who is older than you. But for that one time, I say, go and buy salt, 2 cedis. You are full, like, you are just happy. You are just on the road. You are happy. That's what you should be. All right? So let's have this spice in your evangelism. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone. Thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're making preparations for another workers' convention. And For the workers' convention, we're making preparation for is our workers' convention. So we are going to be working on March. I'm told there's a holiday in March. There's a holiday in March. March has a holiday. I'm told, for those of you who don't know, I'm telling you now. I had it here. Okay. Martina, where's the holiday? Holiday has dismissed. Okay, so 23rd March. So Friday is a holiday and Monday. So Friday, 20th March is a holiday. And then Monday, 23rd March is another holiday. Yeah. So 20th and 23rd. So we're going to have a workers, a workers congress, or what we call a workers convention. 20th, which is on Friday, is going to be an evening meeting. Right, so just like 5:30 to 8:30, 9, right? Great. So then we'll have it on Friday. Then we'll have it on Saturday as well. in the morning at 10 a.m. Right, so 5:30 p.m. on the holiday, which is on Friday, and then 10 a.m. in the morning, which is on Saturday. Then by 1 p.m., 12:30 p.m., we should be done. Then we quickly go for evangelism. Then we come back again. Then we'll close, right, on Saturday. So let's mark that. There's going to be a flyer, so, I mean, we'll get to know. I'll advise every one of us to be there in the meeting. It's a workers' convention, so I'm sure we're going to be talking around some very key, you know, conversations on evangelism. So I'm hoping that we make time to not miss out on it. This is something we should have had last 3 weeks. The leading came last 3 weeks, but I was still looking for like a way, because I was not getting the days well. So this holiday has come to add. In fact, we should have had, you know, our stretch prayer meeting, right? But then we couldn't have it, or we wouldn't be having that. We'll be having the workers' convention in its place, so that we would spend some time to train ourselves. I believe that More training is needed in these times for us as a ministry. So our meetings are going to be more training oriented. It's going to be more training oriented. We're going to have more trainings because we need to train ourselves for the times that we have up ahead. So our meetings are going to be more training oriented so that we can become more effective at the work that we have to do. Right? I believe I would be able to help us get to become much more effective in a number of things. So I'm hoping that we would get to gather, and then when we gather, we're going to just have a good time. We'll look at it. And it's a teaching meeting. That's the purpose of the meeting. So it's not much prayer. It's not much singing. It's when we just gather, we pray for a few minutes, then we get into the teaching of God's word. So we're going to be having such a meeting, and no songs, nothing, just there to look, and to look at it more carefully. All right. So I thought to tell us this in advance so that we are prepared for the times that we have up ahead. And I want to encourage every one of you, everybody must be preparing. Right? Everybody must prepare. There are great seasons ahead of us. And I don't want I don't want the seasons to meet us unprepared. It's something that I'm asking God, how do I do it? How do I get us prepared well enough so that the season does not meet us unprepared? It's like the season meets us still unprepared, immature. No, we ought to grow in whatever it is that we have. So I want to make sure that every one of us is growing. And it's my desire that we should have a lot of teachers, a lot of people who can handle discipleship groups. Yes, so we can mentor and teach other people who the Lord will be sending our way. So it's my desire to have a lot of, not quack people, or people who cannot even explain simple salvation, but then they are comfortable. No, I want to have people who are trained, because I don't want to fail God with the people he's going to send to us in our generation. So I want to have a lot of people who are trained, who can handle it well, like they can handle it. I believe I would have played my part if I'm able to do this, you know. Imagine if we are supposed to disciple the whole city of Accra, every youth in Accra, or majority of the youth in Accra will be suddenly given to discipleship. Will we have enough teachers to be able to handle the people? You know, and I pray that you will also see what I'm seeing and take it, you know, as very important to us, very key. So that as the Lord adds to the church daily, we're going to have the requisite structures to be able to hold the people and to be able to train them as they should or as they ought to. That's why you cannot be just somebody who passes through. You see, if we have, let's say if we have 200 people sitting in for service or 300 people sitting in for service, then with a space of 2 months, we have the numbers, maybe the numbers multiply, maybe times 10, where there are 3,000 seated people for Sunday services. Right? In a short while, you know, when that happens, the number of people who need to be trained become more than the number of people who are trained. When that happens, if care is not taken, the junk swallows up the people who are trained. See, so that's why you need to really be trained very well, so that when the numbers start multiplying in cancerous effects, you see, you are not caught. We are not caught up not knowing what to do any longer. It's like we can't control what is happening, and that's what I don't want to happen. That's what I've been praying for. Right? So everything that you are being taught, everything that you are being told to do. It's because of a reason. There's a reason why, so that you will be able to have that effect on the others also. Right? So we want to be very intentional. Whatever I'm teaching, whatever I say, whatever instructions I give, whatever you're told to do, I want you to begin to model it well. Right? So you become that trustable servant that God can commit many lives to. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. For your great mercy upon us as a church. In Jesus' precious mighty name we pray. Amen. So our time is up. At even tomorrow, 12:30, we're there. Make sure you're there on time. And we'll be in church on Sunday. I want to encourage as many of you to be in church on Sunday. Right? Don't miss church. Don't miss church. And what did I say? Our new mantra as a church is. Do you know what a mantra is? Somebody should check what the meaning of mantra and drop it here. Uh-huh. Do you know what a mantra is? Check what mantra is. Check what mantra is. And drop the thing on the page. You see that? A word or a phrase that is repeated often or expresses the belief of a person of a group or person beliefs of a person or group. So that's what a mantra is. A sacred utterance. This time is an utterance with a question. You see, it's repeated. Have you joined a ministry? Which ministry? Music? Oh, you should join the ushers. Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to do. Because, see, let me tell you something. To make a church grow, the Holy Ghost, and it takes a lot of work. You see, and that's what we're trying to do. By the grace of God. Helped by God. See, and the Lord is telling me, he told me, he says, build the smaller groups. So I said, Lord, okay. I should build a smaller group. Yeah, build a smaller group. So that's why I want to make sure that the discipleships are running. The smaller groups too are actively running. So those of you who can join music, you don't join. And everybody should belong to a ministry by this time. Or every one of you, you should belong to a ministry. Like something that you do in church. This one too, I have to come and bring a sermon on it on Sunday. Church people. It's amazing. You have to teach everything. Is it 10 reasons why you must be part of a ministry? Sunday morning service. Then we are looking at it. Before you now say, okay, that's what Pastor wants us to do. So please, before the sermon comes, okay, just join. Because you have to serve God in the sanctuary. Do you see that? You have to serve God. So just join. Join music, join this, and be interested in doing something in church. Don't just be coming, you just warm the pews. Huh? No, it's not good. It's not good. Hey, thank you, prophet. I love you so much. Prophet, yes, please, prophet, say, who is that Gida? I'm wondering where the love is coming from. So please, join. Or you join a department. I mean a ministry, not a department. Okay, join a ministry. Find a, I'm joining this ministry, ushers. Yeah? A nice lady like you. Huh? You can't join ushers. Nice brother like you. You can't join sound or something. What are you doing? With your nice voice, you don't want to sing. You just joined, but you like the environment already. God bless us on Kachure. Okay, somebody should follow up on Kachure. He says he just joined, but he likes the environment already. Beautiful environment. It's called Holy Ghost. I told people that. Don't say aura. Don't say it's the Holy Spirit. So, join a department. Somebody should text Kachure and get to know the person, get to follow up on the person, get to talk to the person, encourage the person, get the person in church. Kachure, can you drop your contact, your call contact or WhatsApp contact, prefer anyone of them, so that somebody can follow up on you. So you need to join a ministry. You see that? You have to join a ministry. So don't just be there. You are just there. You just come to church. You are just there. Nothing is being done by you. You don't do anything. You just sit down, warm the pews, enjoy yourself. So from this day, we're changing. Okay? We're changing. So we're going to, everybody, whether pastor, even me, I'm part of music team. Yes, I'm part of music team. I've joined the music team. I'm always with the music team. You see, so if I'm part of a ministry, I don't think you have, somebody should take Kachure's WhatsApp and calls. So thank you, Kachure. Thank you. So even me, I'm part of the choir. You see me teaching the choir. The keyboard is played this. Drummers, let it sound like this. You, this is your part. That this is music minister now. So me, myself, I'm part of a ministry. In the church, I pastor you, but I'm part of a ministry. So I don't know why you do not want to join a ministry. You don't want to also do something in church. You don't want to be seen. No. We are changing from this evening. We're joining a ministry, right? We're joining a ministry. We're serving God with everything that we have as a talent. Everybody must belong to a ministry, is what I'm trying to say. Pastor, I don't know how to usher. Then we'll teach you. Ushering is just standing there in beautifully and smiling. Somebody can't smile. That's all. Ushering, that's ushering. I'm just going to smile. You say, sit here, please, with a nice smile. That's all. You don't need anything. You don't need to be tall. You don't need to be short. You don't know. Just smile. Our music group, we collect everybody. Your voice, you don't need to have a voice before you can sing. Me, I collect every chorister. I train people to sing. Yes, I can train people to sing. Yes, doesn't matter your voice. Me, I can train you to sing. If you like, you try it. You come and say that my voice is offered to the gods. And the gods must be crazy. My voice is offered to the gods. But I'm just here to offer myself as a sacrifice, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. You see that it will start working. So everybody can do something, please. Please, the smaller groups, we're going to start building. You don't know what I have for the smaller groups. That's why you are not joining. If you knew, you would have been joining by now. I have wild plans for smaller groups. Yes. See? Yes. So smaller groups. So I'll encourage every one of us to join a ministry. Find something to do. Find something to do for the Lord.